We are going to continue our discussion, what we was talking about from last week. Remember, we started in the first of the year talking about breakthrough, the difference between breakthrough and then some people are going to break down. The ones who are going to experience breakthrough are the ones that are going to be consistent and carry on in their walk and their relationship with God. So as they continue in that, they're going to start to experience blessings. But on the other side, remember, the Lord revealed to me the fact of the matter, there's going to be breakdown. And the ones who experience breakdown are the ones who are not consistent, the ones who pull back. And they're not. I'm not talking a heaven and hell issue, but it's going to be more of a sense of frustration that happens. I don't know about you, when I break down, I get frustrated. I hate it when my vehicle don't work, you know. But anyway, there's going to be some teeth behind it, and that's not going to push them away from God, but hopefully that's going to draw them to God. And then last week we talked about the first part of vision, and we're going to finish that today. How we have to have vision for our life. And vision primarily is something as simple as knowing where you're going. And we all need to know where we're going. You know, life is short. You know, believe me, as you get towards the end, you know, I'm not there yet, but I'm heading towards, I'm on the downhill side probably, just to be honest. I'm 58, so I would imagine, and I don't want to live to be a 200 years old or nothing like that, you know, unless, you know, unless I'm really in good shape or something, then that wouldn't be so bad. But, you know, I'm ready to go to be with Jesus. So, I mean, that's all good. But, you know, being able to pursue and to head in to have a reason, to have a purpose, have something that we know that we're supposed to be doing in life and then work towards that. You know, a lot of people, when they retire, unless they have something pushing them or something that they want to do, a lot of them don't live very long. Because they don't have a purpose in life, a reason to get up every day. And see, I think that vision, what it does, it gives us some reason to get up and some purpose that God's called us to accomplish. Now, I know that we can't do everything, and I don't believe God expects us to do everything. But I do believe that we all are supposed to do something. I think that's simple to say. You know, God has given us, you know, certain gifts and talents inside of us that are unique to us. And they're also in there with a certain personality flair that we have, and that we are to exercise those gifts to be able to grow the kingdom of God. But the sad thing is that a lot of us end up doing nothing, not really accomplishing anything. And we need to turn that around. And I believe that we can. And I believe it's because we don't have a plan. And once we get a plan, then we can accomplish things. I'm a list maker. I like to write things on lists, and then I scratch them off. It could be something simple. But to me, it builds a sense of accomplishment for the day. And it makes me feel I'm getting things done, and I feel good about myself. And I think that helps in everything. Now, if we don't have a plan, then the other option is we have it on autopilot. You know, autopilot means that we just go with the flow. You know, we let other people dictate what we're supposed to do that day. How many like to have somebody telling them what to do every minute of every day? You know what I mean? That ain't no fun, is it? You'd like to have your own plan, wouldn't you? I know husbands and wives are hitting each other right now. See, pastor said you're not supposed to be telling me what to do all the time. You know, but you know, it is. But if we, it frustrates us because it's a fruitless endeavor if we don't have some sort of plan in life. You know, we have a lot of motion, but we don't have any movement. Now, how do we get that needle moved? And I believe it's by intentional living, and we looked at that last week a little bit. We're not going to recap that, but I encourage you to have an intentional plan on what it is that you're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to do everything. You know, you're not supposed to do everything there is out there because you burn yourself out and you'll, you know, frustrate your family. But finding out those things that you are supposed to be doing, and then you pop into that. Scripture we looked at, we're going to recap this part a little bit though. Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. We're going to pray right here. Father, I thank you for this time together and for the anointing that's here to break every yoke of bondage on our life. Lord, we thank you for the wind of the Spirit, the moving of your Spirit in our hearts, Lord. I thank you. We are not those who shrink back to destruction. We are those who press on in faith. And Lord, we want to see a favorable outcome because we believe that you're a good God and you want us to accomplish great things for you. Lord, I yield to that gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And again, the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so a little bit about last week. We looked at this where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained. The word unrestrained is talking about chaos or confusion. It's like a fog. And I think we go through seasons of life every now and then where we get a little fog in us, you know, where you're just not really clear what we're supposed to be doing. And those things happen, but we should not have a whole life like that. You know, those are just attacks from the enemy and maybe some emotional things we go through because we are people, right? You know, we go through things, you know, ups and downs in life. But, you know, primarily, if we do have something that we're heading for, it keeps us out of trouble and it keeps us on where we're going. So, vision, like I say, helps us to know where we're going. You know, to just say, well, I'm going to heaven when I die. Well, that's all fine and dandy. But what are you going to do between now and then? You know, what's your plan? Well, how many, you know, you should set some goals and some things you want to accomplish in the natural. There's a lot of different areas of our life, you know, physical, you know, the natural area, emotional, all these things. But you should not neglect the spiritual because that's the one that's the most important. You know, also vision is a divine communication from the Lord. You know, man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. You know, God has a special plan for you. I don't know what that is. I never thought this was part of my plan when I started out preaching and being a pastor. I mean, that's, to be honest, that's the last thing I wanted to do. You know, I would have settled for an evangelist, and I enjoyed doing that for the 5 years that I did it. I loved doing mission work. I went overseas quite a few times, you know, and helping people from other countries and things like this. But then when God finally, you know, brought things through, and I mean, it was a step-by-step process, you know, but I didn't get here without starting somewhere. I had to take the first step, and that's what we need to look at today. You know, it gives purpose to our life, as I mentioned earlier, a reason to get up in the morning. You know, we should have that. And I'll be honest, if your reason for getting up in the morning is your kids, you know, long about the time they graduate or get out of college, you're going to be empty. You can't live for your kids. You know, you got to live for God and bring your kids along the way. You know, these parents that just chase after the kids and, you know, give them everything they want and, you know, chase after all these things and keeping them out of church, they're going to find out later on what that's going to do to their family and their walk with God. They're going to pay a high price. And it's a price that's too high to pay, in my opinion. Also, vision for a church, it gives clarity to an organization, and that's really what we need as a group of individuals. We all have come here with maybe different ideas, but yet we got to somehow mesh these things together so that we can work together. Well, the springboard scripture that we looked at talking about things is 1 Corinthians 11, and it's verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He's talking to the church of Corinth, one of the churches he birthed. And he's talking here, he says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." So be an imitator of him as he is of Christ. So meaning he was looking at Jesus, modeling the life of Christ to the followers that was behind him, and then they were to mimic that, shall we say. And then in turn, you know, they would help do that to others. Well, then in the King James Version, we looked at that. It says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ." So we looked at the idea of being a leader, and we're going to look at that here in a moment. So it's important that we see that we are to model the Christ life to the world around us. I don't know about you, but friends don't let friends go to hell, right? I mean, this is about as blunt as it's going to get. Friends don't let friends go to hell. You know, I know your friends don't let friends drive drunk. That's a good one. That's a safety issue, right? But even more than that, friends should never let friends go to hell. No condemnation. You know, not make anybody feel bad. But we need to rethink our processes, don't we? You know, why we're here on this planet, what it is that God has called us to do, and then how we're going to reach out to others around us to make sure that they don't fall short. Now, our new vision statement for the church, vision/mission, those two things kind of tie together to some degree. I know some people redefine them. But it is talking about influencing people, leading people from where they are to where God wants them to be. And that's what I want us to get deep down in our heart and in our mind, and I want it to be a part of our life. I want us to see the fact that we are influencing people, leading them from where they are to where God wants them to be. We are called to influence people. And we're going to break that down a little bit more. So everybody here influences somebody. You big brothers or big sisters, you influence your little brothers or little sisters in a good way and in a bad way. Parents, we influence our kids in a good way and a bad way. You know, so there's a lot of things, you know, to take into effect. So now, the next part of it is leading people from where they are to where God wants them to be. So leading people from where they are to where God wants them to be. You know, God accepts us where we're at. I believe that. Then, you know, we make it long story short, we need to repent. You know what I'm saying? We can't just stay a sinner. You know, God doesn't want us to stay separated from Him. But let's say we come to Christ and we're just starting out. Okay, so God accepts us right there, but God does not expect us to stay there. God wants us to keep proceeding in our walk of faith. And this is where sometimes the American church, as well as other churches, miss it a little bit. In the area of discipleship. In the area of somebody getting involved with somebody else's life and taking them under their arm and leading them to a deeper walk with God. And I believe we all can do that. And you say, I can't do that. I know you can. I've met all of you. I know some of you better than others, but I've talked to all of you, and from what I get, you guys are okay. Amen? Pretty good people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like when I started out, like I said, I started teaching three-year-olds because I knew I was smarter than them. You know, so you're smarter than somebody that doesn't know Jesus at all because you know Jesus, right? So you can tell them what you know. You know, you may not tell them, you know, explain the whole book of Revelation, but nobody can explain that book. I mean, there's guys fighting over that for years, you know. Jesus comes, I'm ready, praise God, I'm going. And if I die before He comes, I'm going too, amen. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, that's all I need to know. Now, it's good to study that stuff if that intrigues you. But primarily, all we need to do is share what we know. And I do know this. I'll guarantee this beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if you share what you know, God's going to give you more. When you put out, God's going to put in. That's a principle. Law of sowing and reaping. So as you give what you have, God is going to pour into you so you have more, so you can give more the next time. Share what you have. And I'll be honest, that's one of the greatest feelings you're going to feel in your life when you do that. So the first point is leading people. Okay. We can't just tell people what to do. We need to show them what to do. We live like this is kind of a lecture-based feel right here, right? I'm the one doing all the talking, you know, and that's just the way it is sometimes. But this is not the best. You can learn this way, and that's important. But I think it's also, it needs to come alongside of it, is the fact that we have interaction with each other, in maybe a small group atmosphere where we can help each other to grow with each other. And that's important. And as we endeavor to do that, yes, you're going to have to share a little bit of yourself. You may have to say hi or hello, you know what I'm saying? You know, but you don't have to, you know, come out of your shell the first day and be, you know, Johnny on the spot on everything. No, you just start to be a part of a family. And as you do that, you start to learn from each other and you start to grow. And that's where it's at. In our culture, like I mentioned, you know, this is more of a lecture base, but, you know, we were cattle farmers and we drove our cattle. Sometimes I did it on a horse. Sometimes I had to run. I hated that part, you know, when the horses were a little old or we didn't have one that were adequate in chasing the cattle. Well, then guess who got to run? Well, that was me. Praise God for four-wheelers, amen? Them things almost saved my life, although it about killed me once too. I spun around, the cattle made a break, and I hit a dry spot, and I rolled the four-wheeler, and I went flying about 20 feet in the air and landed and kind of hurt some ribs. I think I cracked some, but anyway, it was still worth it than having to do all that running. But see, we drove the cattle, but a shepherd leads his sheep, see? So the shepherd would go ahead of the sheep and say, come on, let's go. Let's just keep going here. Come on, we can make it. I'll take you where there's some good food and some good water, you know. And that's how God wants us to do it. God does want us just to drive people to Him. God wants us to lead people to Him. And we need to get that process change in our mind of how we're supposed to do things. You know, we're all leaders. You may not think you are. Some people, you know, have a hard time accepting the fact that they're called to be a leader. But see, that's a lie from the devil. See, we're all leaders in some respect. If you're a mom, you know, influencing your kids, you have influence over them. Because leadership is just influence. You know, if you're just helping somebody or telling somebody some information, you're having influence on them. You're kind of showing them things to do and how it works, because the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. And we all rub off on each other. But if we stay apart, then we don't really get that rubbing effect. And so we can't grow from each other. We kind of grow apart. So it's important that we rub each other the right way, though. Amen? You know, there are going to be some annoying times when you get to know people, right? I know I annoy people sometimes. You know, I accept that fact, you know. But that's, I'm trying to get better, you know, every chance I get. But sometimes I'm just slower in certain areas. So my role as a pastor is to help prepare you to prepare others. You know, I prepare you. I hopefully give you some good information to help you so that you can turn, take that information and share it with your friends, share it with your family, you know, not to the fact they cross the street when they see you coming. I mean, don't push that hard. But I mean, you know, get there so you can share a little bit. Now, I'll be honest. If I'm not doing it right, I'm willing to change. Okay? But, you know, if you're not doing it right, are you willing to change? I think we need to come to that fact in our life that we all, if we're not doing something right, are we willing to change? If our process that we do things is not being effective and not making impact, are we willing to change so that we can be better at what we do? And it's for God's glory. You know, change is hard. I know that. You know, I just tried a new system here in the church on Wednesdays. It's called First Wednesday. It's a very catchy term. You know, on the first Wednesday, you know, we meet in this room with all the kids and the teachers, and I do a little teaching, and then we break them up in small groups. Well, some of the kids hate it. They don't like change. They want to be with their friends, you know, but we split them all up in different piles, you know, because I'm trying to break their power factor. When they're all in a group, they have strength, but if we break them apart, they lose their power, you know. Praise God. And, you know, we try to get them to the older kids to help the younger kids. That's going to bless them. The younger kids look up to them for the most part. And, you know, if we can get the older kids to see that, hey, I want to make a difference in these kids' life. And as they do that, then it's going to make a difference in my life. But that change is hard. So change isn't easy all the time. But yet it's something that's beneficial. Now, when I say change, I'm not saying, you know, quit your jobs and sell all you have and give to the poor and come follow me. That's not what I'm saying. Some people, you know, think that, you know, if they're going to follow God all the way, he's going to make them be a missionary or something. No, that's not what we're talking about. I'm just saying, what can we do better? What can we do that can make a greater impact on somebody else around us? And that change is always can be painful, but it's always fruitful. All right, now we're going to look at one more step. And we looked at this a little bit last week. The idea of what it means to take a step. You know, a long journey, no matter how long it is, it doesn't start until you take the first step. Now, how many here would like to walk from here to Des Moines? Anybody? Nobody. Roughly, it's 70 miles or less than that to the edge. You know, that sounds like a ways, don't it? A little bit of a trek. You know, and you know, let me rephrase it, okay? Nobody wants to, but how many think they could actually walk from here to Des Moines? Okay, good. Got a few more. I was hoping so. See, that long journey starts with the first step. Now, if you break up the walk into small pieces, see, we usually see it that, well, if I got to walk to Des Moines, we just see the destination, which is Des Moines. But let's just say you walk from here to La Villa the first day. You should walk farther than that. But let's just say you did that far. Could you do that? I think so. Somebody says no yet. Okay. How about from here to Casey's? Could you walk from here to Casey's? And then we'll, you know. But, you know, if you break this journey down into bite-sized pieces, then it's doable. Primarily, I time myself when I walk. My short little legs, I have to really hurry to go 3.5 miles an hour. I mean, I really have to try. I got a 29-inch inseam. And I don't know, maybe I don't walk right. I don't know. And when I walk with people with long legs, man, it's no fun. You know, I can't talk. Some people like to walk and talk. I can't walk and talk if I walk fast. I don't have the air, you know, so I just conserve energy and I just focus on the walking. But anyway, let's just say you walk 3 miles an hour and it's 60 miles. How many hours is that? 20. Okay. Oh, that's not 20 hours of walking. That's a little better, ain't it? A little bit? Okay, 2 miles an hour. That's 30 hours. Okay, break that 30 hours down into 4 days then. You could walk from here to Des Moines in 4 days, and I don't think it'd bother you. I think you could do it. 4 days. Maybe five. Time you take a few rest stops. But see, if you break things down, then we can start to see it. And on that journey, there's going to be hills. Sometimes you got to go up them. That's rough. But you get to go down them too. Wee, you get to hold your hands up and start saying, wee, I'm going down a hill, I'm fast. You know, so, but you break these things down. And when you're thinking about your walk with God, you may think that, you know, I can't really help anybody spiritual. I can't really do everything that you're doing. But can you take a step? Can you help them a little bit? Can you help them this far? Could you help them from here to La Villa? You may not get them to Des Moines, but could you help them to La Villa? You know, maybe share with that. And then maybe somebody else will pick them up and take them a little bit farther. But see, we got to see that we can do something. We all can do something to be able to make a difference. Now, to be honest, my hardest part of the track would be Smith's hog confinement. I ain't going to lie to you. You know, I don't think I could hold my breath. You know in Attica there? You know when you drive by the hog confinement? That's a rough little patch sometimes. Depends which way the wind's going, you know. But I know I could probably get through it, but, you know, that is tough. Now, all we have to do is just keep heading the right way, and then we're going to get there. Like I mentioned, some may do it in a couple days, some may take a week. So that's just it. Now, we just have to be willing to make the next step. You just got to be honest with God. God, I want to help build your kingdom. I want to be able to help people and share what I know. And start there. You got to be willing to take the next step. Just like a baby. You know, when a baby starts off walking, it's not exactly a pretty sight, is it? They're falling, they're doing stuff. I mean, you know, just everywhere. You know, just like a drunken sailor almost. You know, they just kind of don't have it down right. And, you know, but yet if we keep it going, but I know this, we will stop growing when we stop stepping. If you wonder why you're not growing in Christ, you've probably stopped taking the next step in your life. You've probably stopped making yourself better. And we need to get back to that where we can make ourselves better. Now, what we're doing for Christ is important. I want us to see that. Now, you would probably think that a doctor is a pretty important person, right? If you're sick and you need something, and you might go to the doctor. But I want to tell you this. You're more important than a doctor in this life. See, a doctor can only help heal the body, but you can help heal the soul. Christianity is the most important job there is that you're ever going to have. Because what you're doing has an eternal results in what it's going to do. An eternal impact. Because friends don't let friends go to hell. They will. Not everybody goes to heaven. I've read it in the book. Some won't make it. And it's up to us to share. Then it's up to them to decide. And see, that's where, you know, vision comes into play. If we don't have a plan to want to see people come to Christ, to reach out, and to want to help them to be better, then we will probably never make an impact. Never, ever make an impact. It's up to us to be intentional in what we want to do. And that leads us back to our vision statement again. I think we can do this, and we're going to have this printed up around the church in different places. It's influencing people, leading people from where they are to where God wants them to be. I want everybody to say that with me, would they? Okay. Influencing people, leading people from where they are to where God wants them to be. One more time. Influencing people, leading people from where they are to where God wants them to be. Okay. Very simple, I believe. I think it's got a big enough picture that you could see yourself doing it. That you can see yourself as somebody that's having an influence on the world around you. And that you have the ability to lead somebody where they're at now. They may not know nothing about God. And then you start to talk to them and you share with them what you know. And that person takes one more step and they're closer to God. And that's important. You've done your job. If you can take them as far as you can take them. But like I said, then once you do that, I believe God's going to give you more. And there's training you can take to be able to do that. Now, the next thing we're going to look at is the core values that's going to be able to drive our organization, hopefully. And there's five of them. The first one is preparation. Preparation, we're going to prepare present and next generation leaders to be people of influence through mentoring, development, and empowering them for ministry in Christ. So that means our job as a church is to train people. We want to help train you. I can't get you trained on Sunday mornings only. I guarantee that I won't be able to do a good enough job. There's not enough time. But if you're open saying, Pastor, I want to grow a little bit more. I want to know some more things. I want to know how I can be a better leader. Well, you come see me. And I have other people that have the same vision I have, and we will be willing to sit down with you and talk to you about some things and maybe share some information with you, turn you on to some books, you know, some things you can read. So you can see our vision has always been preparing the next generation for ministry, so we're not kicking kids to the curb. We want to train some kids so they can be future leaders, but also we don't want to neglect ourselves on the ones who the adults who are the ones here today. You know, so we want to help you to be better too. So that's something we want to do for ministry in Christ because everybody is a minister. Okay, next point is revitalization. These are big words, but it's best I come. I thought it was kind of catchy how I did it. I don't know. But anyway, revitalization is reviving our passion for Jesus Christ by the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and His gifts to the church. We're about reviving, revive ourselves. See, one thing that happens is Christians sometimes get passive. They go along for a while, and then all of a sudden they just kind of pull back. So we need to revive each other. It's talking about our passion for Jesus. We should love Jesus more than anything. The Word of God. We're a Spirit-filled church. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe everything in the Bible is still in play today. You know, we want to see it more in this church. You know, and so we can help with that and tell them about the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm going to fall back this spring and start teaching on some of the basic beliefs of the full gospel experience and the things that we feel that I feel is going to help us to be overcomers. So we're going to fall back on that a little bit here on Sundays. Thirdly, proclamation. Proclamation. You know, we're going to proclaim a loving Christ by evangelizing both the lost, both locally and globally. You know, we can help people overseas, but we need to also be evangelizing here. And so that's why we started Evangelism Committee. I praise God for that. This is one of the most exciting things, you know, I've been excited about for a long time, is the fact that we have some people who are passionate about the lost. I know we always have been, but now we're being intentional about it. We have a team that wants to help train each other, go door to door. We have some other things up our sleeve. We're going to be trying to better reach this area and the surrounding area as well as the world. So, next, transformation. Transformation is bringing transformation one life at a time through preaching, teaching, discipleship, and worship. Change lives, change lives. It's all about you, and it's all not just about me. If your life's been changed, then God's going to use you to change lives. If it's all about me, we have failed. We have failed in our mission to Christ, because when I die, it's over. And I will die. but it's about you. So transformation, you know, we want to put it one life at a time, meaning each person is important. It's not about just a whole group or a whole pile of people, but each person has an important part to play, and that God wants to see them transformed. And we do it through various means, preaching, teaching, discipleship, and worship. And I would like to see discipleship really start to kick in a little stronger here at the church. All right, lastly, integration. We've been doing this already a little bit. Integrating Christianity with the arts and recreation helps strengthen the body through ministry and fellowship. We don't do Christmas programs to put on a show or a pageant. It's a way that we get parents who don't come to church normally to come here. And that's why I preach a very, I think, strong salvation message at the end. I don't want them not to know that there's an opportunity to give their life to Christ. So we use the drama and the arts, and we use, you know, when we get together for recreational things. So we do those things so that we can get people. It's all about taking people to the next step. It's all about trying to influence people. So these are some of the things that we've been working on. Now, in closing, I just want to mention three different programs, you know, that I would like you to get involved with if you can. And you should. Amen. Ouch. Praise God. All right. Partnership, Dream Team, and Freedom Class. Okay, partnership. We don't do membership. We do partnership. To me, members kind of join a club, but partnership shares a purpose. Okay, we have a partnership class. We're going to have another. You know, we like everybody that's wanting to be in ministry to join the, be a partner of the church. Very painless. It's about, we've been meeting on a Saturday, a couple, 3 hours, go through the class together. The benefits of that are two things. Well, three things. You know, we get to know each other better, but number one, it has a personality test. And you find out your personality traits if you're better working with things or working with people. That makes a difference, right? If you're a people person and you start organizing things, you're not going to enjoy that as much. But if you're a thing person and you start working with people, you're not going to connect as good. So it's good to kind of know that. Thirdly, you have an opportunity to take your, it's a spiritual gifts analysis. That finds out what spiritual gifts God has given you. He's given to you for free. They're inside of you, but you just need to find out what they are. And this test will help you find that out. So as you do that, then you find out, and then we give you opportunity to be part of a dream team. A dream team would be the ushers, the greeters, the teachers, the sound people, anybody that's involved in ministry. And then we're wanting to kind of see more of a team atmosphere where different people assume different roles to accomplish different things. So those are things that we want to see happen, because as we build up the dream team, then we're going to start to see greater success, you know, in our Sunday worship system, how our process is here on Sunday morning, different people sharing the burden, not the same persons having to usher all the time, but we have different people trading in and out, and same with greeting at the door, same with the sound. You know, different people can be a part of the ministry and doing different things in the church, and then everybody feel, number one, everybody feels a part of it, but also certain people don't feel like they're just getting burned out on it. And also, like I mentioned, the evangelism and then the assimilation, meaning how we integrate people into the church. So if we could get more people involved and in buying into this vision, you know, being a part of it, I don't believe you would be here today unless you didn't feel like you're a part of the church, you know. But I'd like to see us, you know, go a little bit deeper in our relationship and start to be involved, because, you know, there's many steps on the journey, but we got to start with the first step. And as we do that, I think that we're going to start to see things change in our lives, and also the change in the lives of this church life. Amen.